Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. It's the start of a new week. It is Tuesday of a new week, and we have two events to talk about today, and we'll do that in our one episode for this week. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. We have two events on the DP World Tour this week. We have one in South Africa, and we have one in Australia. One is significantly better than the other in terms of field quality, but the other probably has much better value in terms of the odds market, so you've got a couple of choices to make this week. We don't really, at least I'm not going to, recommend that you bet much money on either of these tournaments. Just like any fall event, kind of keep it pretty simple. And I think you'll see the reasons why as we talk about both events here. But I do want to start with the Fortinet Australian PGA Championship, Royal Queensland Golf Club. This is an event that is co-sanctioned with the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia. This is one of the two biggest events that they have in Australian golf. There used to be three. It used to be called the Triple Crown. You'd have the Aussie Masters, Aussie PGA, and the Aussie Open. The Aussie Masters went away a decade ago. So now you really only have the Aussie PGA, which is co-sanctioned with the DP World Tour, and the Aussie Open, which stands by itself. And the Aussie PGA has a, I think, surprisingly good field this year. A little bit better than last year's. And you've got a good number of Aussie players who have come home. And then you've got some good players from the DP World Tour, some names that are competing this week. So, just to kind of run down the list, at the top of the board, you have Cameron Smith, who is the defending champion, three-time winner here. He's 9-2. Minwoo Lee 7-1, Cam Davis 11-1, Adam Scott 12-1, Adrian Meronk and Joaquin Neiman 16-1, Ryo Hesetsun is 20-1, Mark Leishman 22-1, David Michelucci 25-1, Lucas Herbert 28-1, Big Shot Bob McIntyre 33-1, Jason Scrivener 40-1, and then you start to get into some maybe lesser known names, but Alex Fitzpatrick is here at 50-1, Tom McKibben is 50-1. Johnny Vegas is playing. He's 60-1, which I think he has patronized this tournament in the past. Laurie Cantor 60-1, Richard Mansell 60-1, Eddie Pepperell 70-1. So Rafa Cabrera Bello 125-1. Jed Morgan, who is in limbo right now because he can't play, he got kicked out of the LIV. He's 150-1. Nicholas Kolsart's 175-1. So you've got some names you are familiar with. But in terms of the ones that I think you want to bet, you're going to keep this one pretty short. Cam Smith loves this event, loves playing in it, plays it very well. He didn't have, I don't think, his best season, but he also didn't have a poor season as a follow to 2022. So I think the 9-2 is warranted, again, being a three-time champion of the event, but that's just too short. I'm not betting a guy at 9-2 when I don't even get a chance to watch the golf in full. If I want. I'm just that kind of guy. I want to see him compete and then have the sweat along with it. And at 9-2, if I'm just going to go to fall asleep and hope that he wins, I don't find that particularly interesting. I want a little bit of a bigger ticket. Honestly, I think Minwoo Lee is your right play here. But Cam Davis has been great on the PGA Tour of recent form, recent memory. He's been there. 11-1 is a good number for him. He plays well in Australia. Adrian Meronk plays well in Australia. He's got to feel pretty good about where he is. He's going to the PGA Tour. He's going to have a great year next year, probably. He's been excellent for months. So I would look at Adrian Meronk here at 16-1. I think your value plays are really in the 20s. Ryo Hesetsun was, fifth last week or something? He's had a couple very good weeks in a row, and I would argue a very good 2 months in a row, 20-1. And then David Michelucci, a lot of people are probably wondering why he is 25-1. He's been playing great in Australia. He just won on the PGA Tour of Australasia last week. 2 weeks prior to that, he was runner-up. So he's been in good form. He is a guy with a lot of potential and arguably has not lived up to it entirely, but he's playing in really great form right now. 25-1 is a number worth looking at. I think Alex Fitzpatrick is worth a look at 50-1. Not playing his best golf, not like he was earlier in the summer, but I do like where his game is, and I think it can travel. So, especially having played pretty much anywhere and everywhere all year where he could get an opportunity. Starting the year on the Challenge Tour, moving to the DP World Tour, just taking what comes. He's done very well with it. I like that 50-1 number on him. After that, I think you would be hard-pressed to find someone to bet with any kind of confidence. Kazuki Higa, maybe at 125-1 could be intriguing to you, but that would be my only long shot I'd be willing to play. It's a 156-player field, but the odds market out there is not particularly robust in the United States. So this is an offshore book that we're looking at the numbers for. So it gets pretty tough to bet golf when you're talking about these kinds of events. Actually, no, they did post them. Good, they did post them to DraftKings, so we can work off of their number. We had been working earlier without it. So you get more pricing in the domestic book than you would in an offshore book where they only maybe make 50 to 75 players available in a lot of places. But all the big names were in there. Micheluzzi's 22-1 onshore, so you're already losing some value there. Some people have probably come in and expressed some interest in betting him. But the way that this field is stacked, you have four top 50 players, you have a bunch of top 100 and 150 players after that, and then whew, right off the cliff. So once you get past like Eddie Pepperell and Richard Mansell, remember Richard Mansell has come on recently. I don't like him to win this event, and I would like him closer to 80-1, but he has played well the last month, month and a half. So it's 65-1. Maybe you can convince yourself that's worth a sweat. But once you get past, like I said, 60, 65-1, some crazy stuff starts to happen. A couple names I will mention that are super deep, and I'm not entirely sure why Ben Eccles is 180-1. He just won for the first time in like 7 years on this tour, on the Challenger PGA Tour of Australasia. Just had a great week last week, losing to David Micheluzzi. I know people think Micheluzzi's more of a polished player. He's younger. I get all that, but 180-1 given their last couple of weeks does not compute, in my opinion. I think that is a misprice. I think that's worth trying to go after. And then after that, yeah, I probably can't come up with another good name that you would not laugh at me for telling you to go bet. But, I think that's okay. The reality is, the way the fall has worked, and the other than maybe Camilo Vijegas, who was great the week prior, and maybe Erik van Rooyen, who was deep, but he was playing great, it's been favorite city out here, especially on the PGA Tour. So I would be inclined to think we're going to keep that rolling here, and someone in the 20s or shorter is going to win. But there's a couple of long shots that are worth considering. Then I want to get to the Joburg Open. That's short for Johannesburg. Took me a long time to realize that when I was earlier in my golf life. I was like, what's Joburg? What do they do? No, it's Johannesburg, you idiot. And that's in South Africa. This tournament has undergone some changes over its short history. Started in 2007. Ran until 2017 as a 210-player event, played on two courses. Then for 1 year, they played it as a tri-sanctioned event between Sunshine Tour of South Africa, then the European Tour, and the Asian Tour, and that had 240 players. And the craziest part was, they cut to the top 65 in ties after two rounds. So a whole boatload of players got to play, and they cut almost 75% of the field. It was amazing. So now that this event is not that way, when they brought it back in 2020, because it wasn't played in 18-19, they brought it back as a 156-player event. That's what it is now. Dan Bradbury is the defending champion. He is 18-1, along with Tristan Lawrence and Brandon Grace. People ahead of those three guys are Dean Burmester, who is the best South African on LIV this year, and Christian Bezuidenhout, who's played well in this event in the past and does play well in his home country, 14-1. So lots of South African names right up at the top of the board. I think of those, Tristan Lawrence might be the most interesting to me. He was a better player recently, more consistently. He won the BMW in Germany in June. That was a shocker. And then it's kind of been good form since, mostly since. Had a great week last week in Dubai. No reason to believe that wouldn't carry over here. I do like him at that 18-1 number. Then just beneath those 18s, you got some decent players in the 20s. Henny Duplessis, 22. Romain Langas, 25, along with Adrian Otegi. Xander Lombard's 28-1. I like Xander Lombard. I think he plays especially well in his home country. But he also absolutely nuked it at the Ned Bankoff Challenge, disproving me. So I still like him at 28-1, given here the quality of the field, because you get to 35-1, Wilco Nienaber, who's just lost his DP World Tour card by the thinnest of margins, but he did lose his card. So you're talking about players who maybe get some love because they're South African, but they're not, I don't think, a threat to win this tournament. I think you would start looking at like Nick Batcham or Matthew Southgate at like 45-1 if you wanted to start thinking about that. Shubhankar Sharma has won this event. He is 60-1 onshore. I saw him 70-1 elsewhere, so that's a bad price, and people probably bet him if I'm trying to read between the lines a little bit. Oliver Becker might be worth a look at 60-1. Kale Samuja at 70-1, perhaps. Andy Sullivan, a past winner of this event, is 80-1. Kirdek Appibarnerat is intriguing to me at 90-1 because he just got his DP World Tour card back at Q School and had a great finish to do it. I think he shot like 64 in the final day to secure his card. So he's probably riding pretty high. He's also probably pretty tired. But at 90-1, I think that's worth at least a couple dollar bet. But again, you jump off the cliff pretty quickly here in terms of odds, and you're swimming in a world of 150s, 180s, 300s. None of those scream out to me, and I really don't want to recommend that you bet this tournament a whole lot. I would stick with just 2 to 3 plays. If you hit it, cool. If not, don't bet live. Don't think about derivative bets. Just, hey, you might get some money here. You might not. And again, they're, 9 hours ahead of us, 8 hours ahead of us, I believe, here in the East Coast of the United States, whatever it is. It's a lot, and you're not going to get to catch a whole lot of this live, probably, unless you're a night owl. So, if you're in the United States. So, again, the whole thing of getting to watch it. But you will get to watch the end on Sunday morning. So, there is that, I guess. But, again, I think this tournament is not as deep as the Aussie PGA. And there aren't as many easy bets based on either current form that might be sneaky value. Or, you know, you get these guys coming off LIV who really haven't played in like a month. And at least at that level, they might have played an Asian tour then, but they haven't played in a month, and it's probably going to show. And then you've got a bunch of guys who just came off a Q school. That's a whole different meat grinder, but it is tiring, and it's 6 rounds, and it's a lot. I think you're going to see someone, again, short win, but I don't have a good case for anyone past like 70-1, other than they might have had a somewhat decent finish recently. And that leads me to believe it's very unlikely we get a long shot winner. And if it happens, you get like an Aki Stridham thing that happens again, where just wins out of nowhere. Good on you. I didn't see it coming. I would never see it coming. So take all that into consideration for this week. Again, with these two events, I would bet extremely lightly. If I were going to favor one over the other, I would certainly favor the Aussie PGA because I think you have some potential value. A couple maybe shockers, especially that Ben Eckley's line. I mean, 180-1 is kind of insane given the way he's playing. I know he's going to play against way better competition this week, but just for that reason alone, I would bet the Aussie PGA over the Joburg Open. That's just me personally. You may know South African golf better than I do. There are some people on golf betting Twitter, golf betting X or whatever, that really follow the Sunshine Tour, but there aren't many, and so I would caution you to go toward the Aussie PGA if you're going to bet something of these two events this week. And I do want to spend just a couple of seconds talking about the Masters for next year, in part because it's a content filler, but also because you got to start thinking about it. Oh, and I should also mention there is the Casio World Open this week on the Japanese tour, the Japan Golf Tour, which I've never seen the Casio World Open or any kind of odds for the Japan Golf Tour on DraftKings. So that tells you how desperate of a week it is to have those odds out there. I'll go over it real quick. Keita Nakajima, 7.5-1. I would take him. He had a great week last week. Came up just short at the Dunlop Phoenix tournament to an amateur. Yuta Segura, who was 25-1 this week. I probably wouldn't go back-to-back weeks with him. And then Brad Kennedy had a very nice week last week. He couldn't finish it off, but had the 54-hole lead. 22-1 is worth a look, I think, there. I will not say anything other than that because I am not a huge Japan Golf Tour follower. I mean, I try to keep up with the results, but I don't look at it from a betting perspective. So just keep those names in mind, maybe those three, for the Casio World Open. Again, another thing, it's not going to be televised in the United States. You're not going to be able to watch it, so you're just kind of hoping that it all kind of works out. I personally don't get a big thrill out of that. Then, finally, I do want to get to the Masters. So, Masters odds obviously have changed with Ludovic Auber winning. He was about 40-1. Now he's 22-1. By the way, he's never played in a major championship. Do not bet Ludovic Auber to win the Masters. We know the realities of trying to win the Masters in your first try. Please don't do that. Don't waste your money. But the current market is Jon Rahm, 15-2. Scottie Scheffler, 8-1. Rory McIlroy, 9-1. I would rather bet McIlroy in tournament because if he doesn't have a good start, you're going to get that way better. I would wait until the Thursday of the Masters to bet Rory McIlroy to win. Otherwise, don't bother. Victor Hovland's interesting at 12-1. Brooks Koepka, Spieth are 16-1. Sure, people love to bet Spieth in the Masters. Dustin Johnson's 25-1, worth a throw out there. Colin Morikawa, 25-1. I think he's going to figure this thing out someday. Max Homa, 35-1, I think is really interesting, given that he finally has his top 10 in a major, and he is a much better player now than I think he was this time last year, which is kind of stunning to say. Cam Young, 35-1, don't know why. Why are we doing that? Sungjae Im, 40-1, probably worth a poke. Matt Fitzpatrick, 40-1, I think is absolutely worth an early bet here. It might get a little bit longer, but it also might get a whole lot shorter. I would really like him at 40-1. And I think that's the only... Oh, and I wanted to point out Tommy Fleetwood at 50-1. Again, I know he doesn't win in this country, and I just talked about why you shouldn't bet certain players because of their either experience or inexperience at the Masters. But Fleetwood does have good experience in this tournament. I would like it a little bit longer, but 50-1 is worth a consideration, I think. I think Minwoo Lee is going to absolutely light up the Masters, but 80-1, I don't know. And then that's probably it right now. I think that's probably it for now. So it'll be an interesting offseason here, trying to think about things to bet, get value off of. If you kind of see a result pop and maybe you get in your head that they might do something, but you got to act quickly. If you miss the Ludwig train, which I don't know why you'd be on it for the Masters, but if you miss that, you just lost 18 points of value. So you need to act on those kinds of things quickly if you have a feeling. It might not be right. It's okay to not be right. For these kinds of long futures bets, unless you've got a very heavy feeling, it's a small bet. It's not a big bet. But if you've got a feeling that you're going to get a super mega long shot, like Adrian Meronk to win, I don't know why you would feel that, but you know, you go put $500 on it and you're a big baller and you can do that and let that sit in your account for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, you know, however long you want to choose when you bet this. Okay, fine. But otherwise, $5, $10, sounds good. Get out of there and just have it. And then you'll have a nice pleasant surprise when you get to next April. You go, oh, hey, that guy's playing well. I got a chance. And you probably won't. But it's fun to have. All right, that's going to do it for us today and for the week here on The Press. Thanks for spending some time with me. I appreciate it. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving if you're celebrating it. If you're not, then I hope you just have a great week. We will be back with more shows as we have events through the fall, or really the end of the fall and into the early winter here in North America. We'll have the Hero World Challenge. We might talk about the PNC Championship very briefly. We'll have DP World Tour stuff and... Again, we'll spend 60 seconds talking about Japan events or Ladies European Tour events as warranted. If you have any questions, email me, Ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on X, Twitter, Threads, and Instagram, and now on Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. And we'll be back next week. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.